And you've been listening to our live coverage of the Governor's State of the State Address. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by University of Montana political science professor Christopher Musty. And Chris, while we wait for the Republican response, let's talk about the Governor's remarks. No surprises, really?
No, nothing too surprising at all. He delivered a mix of requests and chiding to the Republicans in the legislature, brought up bills that he had proposed in 2013 and had not gotten passed, and some new initiatives, but nothing that we hadn't known from what has come out in the governor's proposal and the legislative responses over the last 8 weeks.
And he started out, as most governors do, about bragging about how the good shape Montana is in, its fiscal discipline, its low unemployment rate, and so on. And then he went after trickle-down economics, pointing out that states that have cut spending, like Kansas, are in way worse shape than Montana.
It was interesting. I would say the bulk of his speech, in one form or another, was about economics, and he was really trying to sort of present a coherent vision of why he thinks that his budget and his approach to policy in general is more fiscally responsible than the Republican approach, and will both return greater long-term dividends, and therefore why we should think about it as an investment. And the word investment appeared numerous times in this speech and has in previous speeches he's made.
Mm-hmm. Republicans were pretty unenthused about a lot of what he said, and the applause that we heard throughout was primarily from Democrats. But there is bipartisan support for a couple of his proposals, improving infrastructure and improving mental health services. That actually got some applause from Republicans as well.
It did. And even on some of the issues where they agree, infrastructure, mental health, there's a really sharp disagreement, or at least substantial disagreement, about how they should be paid for and exactly what form those programs should take. Should they be temporary? Should they be permanent? Where, for example, in the case of mental health, where should the resources be deployed?
Whether it should be community-based or state health.
Exactly. And if community-based, how that would be handled, you know, and where in the state those personnel should go. So there's a lot of details to be settled, but there's room, at least in those areas, for substantial compromise. And we've already seen that on a couple of other issues that that the Republicans and Democrats are in agreement, for example, in reforming the parole board. Mm-hmm. Something you didn't even have to bring up because it's really sort of on its way as a policy change.
Right, and rock the boat by bringing it up.
Exactly.
But he did have one veto threat in the speech, and that was on, quote, any infrastructure plan that is paid for by all Montanans but only benefits some. He said, I'll veto that.
It was an interesting line, and I think, you know, part of it is sort of to claim the high ground on pork barrel spending. Another part of it might be a sort of a warning shot across the bow of the legislature, not just for bills that would benefit, you know, as he cited the two leaders of the Republican leaders of the House and the Senate, but a warning that they not send him a set of bills dealing with infrastructure that is sort of a grab bag, or that comes in the form of multiple bills. I think he wants to get a single unified bill that he can either sign or not sign. And frankly, from the perspective of governance, it would be better from the legislators' perspective if they can get everything they want into a single bill, which would be harder for the governor to veto. So I think, you know, he wants a single bill, and I think that's part of what he was getting at there, in addition to claiming the high ground on pork barrel spending.
Mm-hmm. And one of his proposals, of course, is a big push for early education and pre-kindergarten, and he talked a lot about that, about almost more than any other subject throughout. That is a big agenda that he wants this legislature to pass, and it's one he didn't get in the last session.
Right, and he'll have a tough time this session. And one of the things that will come down to is money. And one of the things that let me just focus on that, it's not going to be inexpensive, and so it's one of the bigger ticket items that he's asking that would be a new part of the Montana budget. And part of his argument, I think, that goes into part of his argument for using bonding to pay for some of the infrastructure. If bonds are used to pay for some of the infrastructure, there's more money left over in the budget to pay for something like early childhood education.
And he said, quote, if Republican governors around the country can understand the importance of high quality preschool, I hope Republican legislators in Montana can, too.
Yes, there were a few digs.
Trying to shame them.
Yes, some direct and some somewhat indirect, trying to nudge Republicans and score a few political points throughout the speech. Nothing too harsh, nothing too intensely personal, but still some things that I'm sure would rankle on the Republican side, but that he wants them to know he's going to fight on those issues.
And the other issue that is going to be a big fight, and it's one the governor really, really wants, and that's Medicaid expansion. He wants 70,000 more Montanans covered by Medicaid.
Yes, and his approach on that issue was both to tout the benefits that he thinks will come from ensuring those Montanans, reassuring the legislature and the public that if the federal government doesn't follow through on its commitments on Medicaid, that he would put there would be a rider in the bill that he's sending to the legislature that would cut that out, that would stop that. And also looking at the substance of what the Republicans have proposed and point by point trying to criticize those proposals and say why they would not insure enough Montanans and would cost a substantial amount and would also involve federal money, which was one of the things that many Republican legislators have opposed on principle.
The governor said that it would cover fewer people and cost more money, and that line got a standing ovation from the Democrats in the hall. And then he had a real zinger when he said, don't tell me you don't like government health care. Like me, you're taking advantage of taxpayer-funded health insurance by being a legislator.
Yes, a line he borrowed from the 2009-2010 debates in Congress about the health care bills there. So, again, playing to the audience and two audiences here for this speech. He's talking to the legislature and trying to exhort them to pass his bills, but he's also testing lines and going to the public and saying, look, if you want these things, it's your responsibility to contact the legislature. So he's really trying to grab control of the agenda, get the Montana electorate to support those things and thereby put pressure. It's a classic case of what political scientists call going public. An official going to the public to put pressure on other public officials.
And the other line that got a big applause from Democrats was when he said, quote, public lands will not be sold off to the highest bidder, not on my watch. And this is because there is some Republican proposals to privatize public land in Montana.
Right. And he tied that to his personal experience and others' experiences of playing and learning as children on Montana public lands and the use of Montana public lands by such a large proportion of the public for hunting and fishing and recreating in various kinds. So I think he was on, you know, pretty solid ground, you know, in terms of Montanans' views of themselves, arguing that public lands are an important part of the state. But as with all policy issues, the devil is in the details. And so I don't think there have been any concrete proposals in the legislature to privatize Montana public lands. But as you say, it's been sort of part of political discussion in the state for the last 4 to 5 years. So I think he's trying to head that off before it gets any traction in the legislature.
Mm-hmm. He also mentioned protection of the sage grouse. But really, there wasn't a lot of reference to environmental issues in the governor's speech. He briefly mentioned the recent oil spill near Glendive in the Yellowstone River, but not a lot of mention of environmental issues in past State of the States, and that's usually gotten a lot more attention. It's interesting that in Governor Bullock's State of the State, it did not.
It has, and it may be one area where he feels like he's not going to get much out of the legislature, so he's not sure that he really wants to sort of open that can of worms with them. It may be an area where he thinks that he can do other things administratively through the Department of Environmental Quality or other state agencies to try to accomplish the things that he wants to. But it was interesting that he didn't really bring that up very much, especially because it's a very popular issue across the partisan spectrum in Montana.
Mm-hmm. And once again, we're waiting for the Republican response to the governor's State of the State address, which will be coming up shortly. The other issue that the governor made a point of tonight, Chris, is campaign finance reform. He said, quote, let me be clear, dark money corrupts our system, and it's up to us to fix it.
And it'll be interesting to see how that works in the legislature, because within the Republican Party over the last two electoral cycles, there's been a real split between the so-called hardline Republicans and the so-called practical Republicans, responsible Republicans, they were called or self-called in the previous legislature. And some of what's gone on in the last two electoral cycles is that some dark money has come into those campaigns, and some Republicans have accused other Republicans of using dark money in a way that, really sort of both undermines the electoral process and prevents voters from knowing, well, who are these people spending money? Where is this information coming from? Should I trust this negative information about a legislator or a legislative candidate? And so I think there's been sort of a debate within the Republican Party about sunshine laws and, you know, whether they inhibit free speech or not, whether campaign finance should be considered a free speech issue or a good government issue. And so I think this could be one of those issues in the legislature where the governor is able to put together a coalition of most of the Democrats and some of the Republicans, as happened in the 2013 legislature, to pass legislation that otherwise might not get through the legislature.
Mm-hmm. I expect Republicans to make some hay from this, given that there's dark money on both sides in the races anymore, and that's something that they may cry hypocrisy on. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Absolutely. And I think that's, that's the nature of the system at this point. And Governor Bullock is in his role as in the state governor's association, Democratic Governor's Association will be responsible for helping to raise money. And some of the money from the DGA comes from dark money sources. So he's definitely vulnerable on that issue.
Mm-hmm. The other issue the governor brought up in his speech was equal pay for equal work, pointing out that although pay for women has improved in Montana, women still make 74 cents on the dollar.
And that was not the longest part of his speech, but I would say given the amount of attention it's gotten in the legislature in the first month of the session, I would say that was something that he's trying to highlight. He's trying to really set the agenda on that and to bring it to public attention and the legislature's attention to try to get some movement on that issue. And so I think that's one area where it really remains to be seen whether there are specific proposals that the legislature can act on. I think he mentioned that he'd appointed a commission essentially to try to investigate and figure out what they could do on that issue.
And now we're going to go to the Republican response, which will be given by Senate President Pro Tem Eric Moore, and he's being introduced by Representative Sarah Laslaffy.